By his spirit. I want to continue the theme of last Sunday, which of course was Pentecost Sunday, and by his spirit. Will you turn with me in the word of God to Acts chapter 9, very familiar verses, I'm sure. Acts chapter 9, and we'll read the first 9 verses. Acts 9 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the reading of your word to us. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Any of the way, that is, any who were following the Messiah, following Jesus, born again Christians. Saul wanted them bound, brought them bound and sent to Jerusalem. So as Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. By his spirit. I think what a frightening and terrifying experience this was for Saul. Incredible experience. Here was Saul, the master teacher of the law. He knew the law inside out. He could debate with the scholars. He could argue the finest points of the law and wipe the floor with anyone whom he debated it with. Such was Saul's knowledge of the scriptures. And his goal in life, what he was pursuing really, not only was that he knew the scriptures, oh, he knew the law, but he was totally determined for the extermination, the getting rid of all Christians, the followers of Jesus. That was his goal. To get rid of these people, of the way, the followers of Jesus. And now, as he was on his journey to gather and bind up the Christians and send them to Jerusalem, he finds himself flat on his face. Flat on his face. Speechless. Speechless. Those around him probably saw nothing. Saul did. Oh yes, Saul did. He gets up. Amazingly, after such an encounter, Saul is still alive. He walks away. Alive, but blinded. The great and mighty Saul is now helpless and being held by his hand. And Saul is led away. What was the purpose of this amazing, incredible, life-changing experience? Well, it was that Saul would meet with the living Lord. But you see, in verse 17 of this chapter, later on, after he has this meeting with Ananias, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." See, Saul knew all about religion. I think sometime later, no doubt, as he was reflecting on his own experiences, on his own upbringing, and on his own actions of persecution and so on, and being a very religious man, when he wrote this in the letters, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having religion, but no power. That had been Saul's experience. And now he's writing to other believers saying, hey, make sure you have the real thing. Saul often spoke about God, didn't he? But he didn't know him. And he definitely hated his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all who followed him. But now Saul, for the very first time in his life, as he's been on the Damascus Road, he has a dramatic meeting with the living God himself. Saul, who became Paul, now has this life-changing, transforming experience with the Holy Spirit. He now knows true power. And at once, the Holy Spirit gets to work, taking away his stony religious heart and making it soft, turning him into a humble, obedient follower of Jesus. That's true transformation, is inside. Do you know that? Have you experienced this life-changing work of the Holy Spirit? I hope so. But if not, today is the day to seek Jesus and allow him to take away all the hardness, all the pride, all the sin, and reveal a loving, compassionate, forgiving Saviour. Because that's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile sinners to God. For without forgiveness, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus went to the cross so that you, I, and those still in the world, unsaved, may not face an angry God at the day of judgment and be punished for their sin. Oh, blessed be his name. He took our sin upon himself. Oh, to be born again of the Holy Spirit, and then to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now Paul knew that he was forgiven. He was a new creation. He could write a little later on, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation in Christ Jesus. This was life, real life, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, in all of Paul's troubles, because a follower of Jesus, you know, it says in the Word of God, it is through hardship that we enter the kingdom of heaven. Because we become followers of Jesus, the enemy's on our back. But hey, presto, if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you have the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit living in you, so that you can in all things be more than a conqueror. Because he loves you. You're not on your own. Religious people have only their religion. Christ followers, true Christ followers, have the living Lord Jesus within themselves. So in Paul's troubles, in every shipwreck, in his imprisonment, in the beatings, every time he stood before the Jewish leaders, every letter that he wrote to the churches, Paul knew the power of the Holy Spirit in his life in a very real and a very meaningful way. Paul knew the absolute necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Surely that is why he could begin his second letter to Timothy with these words. We read in the second letter, And this is what he's saying to Timothy. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says to Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Blessed be his name. Timothy. Paul was passing, if you like, the baton on to Timothy. Timothy, by nature, was obviously a shy person. He may have been somewhat introverted. And he was somewhat fearful of the ministry that he had been called to. How can I do it? The Apostle Paul reminds him, stir up the gift. You have been baptized from on high. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. You're not on your own now. You have been given a spirit of power, love, joy in the Holy Ghost. What an encouragement to Timothy to press on, not in his own strength, knowing his weakness. He experienced the dunamis power of God. And that's for you, that is for me. Hallelujah. Friends, we must all be filled with power from on high. We must not avoid this matter just because of the weird and the horrible counterfeit extremism which we see around us today, and with the demonic encounters with fallen angels and the mayhem and the so-called signs and wonders which follow. No. We must seek Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's longing to baptize us from on high. Is the Holy Spirit, not what you see perhaps on the God channel at this moment. There's nothing holy about that. It's demonic. But God wants you to experience, and me to experience, the real thing. And I say again to young people and to all of us, please be careful who lays hands on you. Make sure you know that person, that they're walking with the Lord, that they are the true people of God. Because what is being imparted to so many sincere people but deluded people is a demonic spirit. Well, hallelujah. Well, if the Lord, you see, the word says be self-controlled and alert. If you're Holy Spirit filled, you also have self-control, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. You don't go crazy and lose your mind. Hallelujah. But we are firm in the faith. Hallelujah. The word, don't receive a counterfeit, but receive the real thing, Jesus and his power. Oh, that's lovely, that's pure. And he's longing to bless, longing to pour out his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus himself, of course, despite being the Son of God, needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit for his ministry, did he not? We read in Matthew chapter 3 these verses. When Jesus had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit. After all, he came to set the captive free, did he not? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he set captive free, that the lame walked, the blind were made to see. He raised the dead. He declared, the kingdom of heaven is among you. And it was for this reason that our Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father, as we read last week in Acts chapter 1. It wasn't long before these instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples that the baton had been passed on to them and to us. Go ye into all the world. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. You shall be my witnesses. The baton has been passed on to us. We need the Holy Spirit, do we not? We must all, friends, be filled with power from on high. You see, the work that you and I have been called to do, we cannot accomplish in the power of the flesh and blood alone. Why? Because our ministry, our task is supernatural, is it not? It is only by the Holy Spirit's power that we can accomplish the work Jesus has called us to do, given us to do. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live supernatural lives in our homes, with our families, in the office, in the factory, at school, college, within the neighbourhood and community. God working through me, crucified to self, living in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to make an impact? How we love to listen to the testimony of Brother Michael this morning, and how his one desire and that of his dear wife now is to glorify Jesus, to speak well of Jesus, and to encourage others. That's a ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely it was the power of the Holy Spirit which enabled Stephen to speak up for his Messiah when he was suffering the taunts of the enemy, when he was being persecuted, and when he laid down his life for the faith, the Holy Spirit strengthened him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we do, and we've had the real experience of which I guess most of us have had from time to time, when we are in despair and we cannot see the future, we cannot see any hope. It's all blackness, it seems. The heavens are like brass, and perhaps we've had some real shocking news, desperate news, and we cannot see the way out. We cannot see the way out. But God miraculously appears. This is what he loves doing. He appears for his disciples. Did you hear that testimony? Our brother didn't go to some book. He didn't go to some novel. He didn't turn on the TV. He went to this, the Bible. God spoke. He spoke in the night season. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. May that be a word for you. Oh, that it is in the power of God's Holy Spirit which will empower you and me to live for Jesus now, to make a difference, and to do whatever task and challenges that God is calling you to take on. The Apostle Peter says some precious words. He says that his divine power gives us everything we need. Everything we need for living a godly life in Christ Jesus. Everything. No shortage with the Lord, is there? We miss out because we want to do it our way at times. We'll think we can give God a helping hand. Well, God in his mercy does use others to help us. Oh, again, we've heard of the value of a praying church, a praying friends, a praying community. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what the Apostle Paul could thank the church in the New Testament, particularly at Thessalonica, but even for the churches which were experiencing problems, the Apostle Paul could say, oh, every time I think about you, every time I remember you, I thank God for you. I thank God for your prayers. I thank God for your faith in Jesus Christ. So be blessed, because you're a blessing to me. Oh, hallelujah. So that what he has given us everything that we need, so that we can take part in his divine nature. That's amazing. The born again, spirit filled Christian knows this. May you and I walk this out. Use what the Lord has given to you. You see, those who were called, as we read in Acts chapter 6, to wait upon tables, to look after the widows, the orphans, the poor, what was one of the main requirements? That they be full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Why was this so necessary, to be full of the Holy Spirit? Well, the ministry would never be truly authentic without the power of Christ within them. Service, living, must be done in his anointing, in his power. Not by our might, not by our strength, not by our power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. This, friends, is the only work which will survive into eternity. Yeah, the opposition will increase. We're going to be faced with opposition and challenges and decisions to make, which none of us, however old we may be, none of us have had to make up to now. We will be faced up to some real challenges, and the opposition and the darkness will intensify in the world and in the so-called professing church. Now, friends, how will you and I face a hostile government, a hostile world, an increasing apostate, a Christless churchianity, and fulfill our mission, remaining faithful to the word of God, faithful to God, and seeing hundreds turning to Jesus in faith, because that is what I'm believing for, without the Holy Spirit? Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we won't. But he's already provided us in advance. Hallelujah. Seek him. We need him. He is willing to fill us so that we can withstand the pressures of the enemy wherever it is. We can resist the evil one because we've submitted to God. We submitted to his work. We love him. We love him. And we resist the evil one. He flees from us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Make sure you and I know our calling, that we're full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom, doesn't it? Well, you could substitute wisdom for Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of Jesus. So we're not on our own. That, friends, we know from experience. I know from my own experience. When I'm full of Christ, when I've got into the Word of God, whatever the opposition comes in my way, I can be very bold and courageous. I can face demons. I can face hell. I can do exploits for God. And this is the need of the hour, isn't it? Full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, so that we can do the ministry Christ has called us to, and to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. Witnesses to Jesus. Our Lord has laid down the clearest terms for mission for those who are to follow him. And this is the mission of the church. This is the mission of Crawley New Life Church. This is the mission wherever you are. It's the mission for anyone who would dare to call themselves New Testament disciples. It's the mandate of apostolic Christianity. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "You shall be my witnesses." We are to be witnesses for Christ. Where there's so much witnessing for the spurious and counterfeit, brother, sister, be full of Jesus, be witnesses for him. This is a recurring message in Acts, witnesses. In fact, it's 39 times there in the book of Acts. Witnesses for Jesus. One of the first times it's written is in chapter 2, verse 32, the Apostle Peter. The Peter, on the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit, says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." We are all witnesses. Hallelujah. And friends, the true witness to which Christ wants us to be is simplicity itself. Live a crucified life in the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. To be a witness for Jesus Christ is to bring a message that is a marvel of simplicity. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He died to pay for our sins. He is resurrected. Now he is exalted in glory, and he calls us to believe in him to receive forgiveness of sins. That's the simple gospel. And we are called to be witnesses to that. There's a harvest out there, friends. In the darkness, God is calling out to people. And there's many yet to be saved, even in this town. Christ is building his church. Whatever the opposition throws, even Hades cannot overpower what Christ is doing. Be encouraged. For the need of this hour, we need to be full of Jesus, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit. It's good news. It's great news. There is nothing to join. There's no system to climb. Just a person to receive. The witness is simple, but it does require costly commitment. It requires commitment. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we will walk the talk. We must all be filled with power from on high. For Jesus is returning soon. So let's make sure we've got a going in the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, do not let the anxieties of life, as real as they are at times, do not let the worries of this life, do not let the counterfeit stifle what Christ wants to do through you to bring many souls into the kingdom of God. It's by his Spirit. Praise be to his name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, O God, that we will wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord will be strengthened. Hallelujah. They will mount up, rise up as of eagles. Hallelujah. I pray, O God, that for the need of this hour, you will indeed pour your Holy Spirit upon us. We are weak and empty without you. We need to be filled. Fill us again, we pray, O God. Give us hope for those who have been weighed down, Lord, who have let pressure get to them. Real pressure, O God. Thank you. You understand. You understand. You are the compassionate, gracious, great high priest. You strengthen the weary. You wrap your loving arms around them. Lift them up, O God, that they will see Jesus, that they will see the glory of the Lord, that they will have hope. A future. Oh God, we have much to be thankful for. I pray, oh God, that we will rise up for the needs of this generation. that the children will reach out to other children, young people meeting other young people and displaying the glory of Jesus through their walk and testimony, the power of God living within them, drawing them to Jesus. Young people, ambassadors for Christ. And those of us who are older, may we not give up, may we not faint, grow weary, but renew our strength in the Lord. Thank you, O God, you are for us, so who can be against us? Help us to stand in this wicked day. Help us to keep that gospel armour on, Lord. Help us to love you. Love you, Lord. Love you even above family. Love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Help us to love your truth. Fill us with your Holy Spirit.